why GPS could keep its American accent.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. The global positioning system that guides car and handheld navigation devices was first set up by and for the U.S. military. Russia has its system. China and Japan have ones that don't yet cover all the Earth. But a project to end Europe's dependence on American GPS could run up against a budget axe. The European Union is taking a hard look this week at its longer-term spending, and its Galileo navigation system could take a hit. Galileo is so far costing three times what was projected. Cyrus Farivar is senior business editor for the tech publication Ars Technica.
There's been a lot of discussion within the European Union as to why Europe needs this. Many European politicians feel that this is a way for Europe to sort of stand on its own two feet, to be autonomous, to not rely on the American GPS system. You know, what if it goes down? Where would they be then? But at the same time, a lot of people are worried about the ever-mounting costs of this program that seems to be burdened with promising too much and under-delivering.
The plan was for 30 satellites for Europe's GPS. It only has four working now. Unlike the American GPS, Europe's is under civilian, not military, control. Twitter this week bought a company that's good at tracking online buzz. In other words, what's getting written about, tweeted about, photographed, and shared. Twitter's purchase of the research company Bluefin for an undisclosed amount is about gathering the sort of social media info that can be used to extract more money from advertisers. But as Slate tech blogger Will Arimus explains, Twitter plus Bluefin is also about a strange habit we've picked up. When the TV goes on, the tablet or smartphone doesn't go off, Will?
Yeah, that's going to sound crazy to a lot of people out there. They'll say, how on earth could you be reading Twitter and watching TV at the same time? But about a quarter of the people out there listening are going to be going, oh, yeah, I do that all the time.
And this is what people who are making pitch to advertisers are trying to get their heads around with an acquisition like Bluefin. How do they interrelate, and how can we turn this into profit?
Yeah, I mean, it's a goldmine of information. You know, TV advertisements have been a very lucrative business for a very long time, and yet for so much of that time, the advertisers have had no idea just how their ads are working and what people think of them and how they're affecting people's sentiments about the company and the brand. Now Twitter is hoping to be able to tell them that.
Slate's Will Arimus appears regularly on this program.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Personal Capital, investment advice for the digital age, offering tools to personally manage your portfolio at personalcapital.com. And by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to control labor costs, minimize compliance risk, and improve workforce productivity. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Personal Finance Reporting on Marketplace is supported by Ally Bank, who believes intelligent news and knowledgeable customer service should be available around the clock. Learn more at allybank.com.
We're keeping the focus this week on the Internet of Things, going beyond websites to what some see as a new network of intelligent objects, devices that communicate with each other. We've heard from artist Will.i.am about how this sort of thing might change music. Also from a company called SmartThings and the CEO of Cisco about how smart devices in the home could revolutionize everything from reading electricity meters to running kitchen appliances. Today, it's something even closer to the heart, how medicine could be transformed by smart devices. Dr. Anthony Jones is at Philips Healthcare, a company that designs machines and software for hospitals around the world. He says a nurse could check on you four times a day, or there could be networked machines that send data on your vitals in a constant stream to a master control.
If I now have a continuous monitor and I have that data going up into a central repository, I can write algorithms and put some intelligence into that repository that allows me to look for trends. So part of what the Internet of Things will allow is much more sophisticated, much more continuous monitoring.
Done right, this new era of monitoring could also help keep you from going into the hospital in the first place.
The entire industry is moving away from this concept that the most important thing is how quickly I can transport the patient from the location to the hospital, and now making a determination, can I in fact treat that patient here by having a connection back to a specialist?
Advances in wireless and medical tech will go even further, according to Ed Price at Georgia Tech's Institute for People and Technology.
So if you've got, you know, chronic blood pressure issues, maybe there's a blood pressure sensor in your seatbelt in your car. Obviously, there's no time for a human to analyze all that data, but an algorithm and a computer can look at all your data for your blood pressure and trigger when there's an event that needs to be noticed by a care provider. So maybe, you know, a nurse at your medical center gets a notification, you know, Ed's blood pressure is way out of bounds today. Maybe you should check on him.
And the healthcare reform law plays a role here as doctors and healthcare companies get new incentives to make people well and keep them that way.
Hospitals and the doctors have an incentive now to make sure your preventative care, your follow-up care is done properly. Electronic devices, telemedicine will be a key part of that.
We'll be taking our inquiry into the Internet of Everything beyond this week. Experts say there are great opportunities and concerns if the technology invades privacy. You can find links to all our coverage at marketplacetech.org. And for those of you with a persistent impulse to gesture at your TV, an Israeli company has just launched EyeSight, a way to control screens by gesturing with your fingers, no touching. It can work for tablet computers and in the car. Audio and navigation screens could also be controlled with small gestures. Be interesting to see how it reads the bigger gestures that sometimes happen behind the wheel. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Before the government can figure out gun laws, it needs to know what it's talking about. Data, the hard numbers. Would that it were so easy.
They are using technology that was developed anywhere between 50 and 500 years ago.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The present-day problem of gun laws. That and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.